Welcome to today's episode of London Disputes Soundbites. I'm Jenny Reeves from Baker McKenzie's London Disputes team, and in this episode, we're talking all things class actions. Various forms of collective litigation are becoming a reality in Europe, with the UK having had its first opt-out collective claim certified just last year, with many more waiting in the wings, particularly in the competition law space. This seems to be a key area to watch. And there are some jurisdictions that are really at the forefront of this trend in Europe. And I mentioned the UK, but the Netherlands is another key example. So I'm joined by my colleague, Chef Jansen from our Amsterdam office to cover collective actions in the Netherlands. And other jurisdictions have been a bit more resistant, but we see some change on the horizon and some innovative ways to get around the lack of true class action. So to talk about that slightly different perspective, I'm joined by Max Sattler from Germany to talk about the alternative models there. So perhaps I can start with Chef. I understand there have been recent changes to the collective action options that are available in the Netherlands with a new mechanism being introduced. Perhaps you could tell me a bit about how that works.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. The new regime was actually introduced or came in force from the 1st of January in 2020. And it applies to claims initiated from that day for events that occurred on or after the 15th of November 2016. If the events occurred prior to that date, the old regime, which is quite different, applies. Under the old regime, it's possible to reach a collective settlement or to seek a declaratory judgment about specific unlawful behavior. But what is in particular new under the new regime is the fact that an interest group may seek compensation for damages for an entire group or class in that respect.
Oh, that's interesting, Chef. So you mentioned an interest group. Does that mean, do you have to be a designated body in the Netherlands to be able to bring these kind of actions, or who can bring them?
Well, it's possible to bring a case if you're a foundation or an association with full legal capacity, and then you have to fulfill a number of requirements to be qualified as such an interest group or to be held admissible actually with your claim. A number of these criteria are, for instance, the interest group must be able to demonstrate which group of persons it actually represents in such an action. And you must be able to demonstrate that you have sufficient funds, for instance, for such an action.
Oh, okay. And sorry, I interrupted you, but I think you were talking about how it works. And is this an opt-in or an opt-out model we're talking about?
It's actually a bit of both, Jenny. So there's an opt-out model for the individuals that are located in the Netherlands that fall into the narrowly defined group of people for which the action is intended. And there's an opt-in model for individuals that similarly fall into that group of individuals for which the action is intended, but that are located outside of the Netherlands.
Okay, that sounds similar to the way one of our mechanisms works in the UK, actually, in that we have uniquely in the competition law space an opt-out collective action model. So anyone who falls within the class will be automatically included unless they opt out. Except if you are domiciled outside of the UK, you do need to opt in. So there's a bit of both. If you're within the jurisdiction, you're caught. But that model is really where we've seen enormous growth in the UK in the past few years, because it was introduced back in 2015, was quite quiet for a while. And there was an enormous case brought in relation to interchange fees on credit cards, which went all the way to the Supreme Court. And there was a judgment last year, which effectively made it easier to bring these cases. And we've now had around 14 or so class actions filed on competition law issues, with the first one of those certified last year and the number waiting in the wings. So it's an interesting area. So that's the kind of true class action in the UK, though there are some other mechanisms that are available across the board, and they will be representative actions. Another important judgment last year in the Lloyd and Google case, which it wasn't competition law, it was a data protection case, again went all the way to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court held that this representative action mechanism couldn't be used in that case. And it's clear that it's going to be quite limited. So it's more suitable for cases where you're seeking that kind of declaratory relief, but getting judgment for damages will be particularly difficult. And the other difference, which I picked up when you were explaining the Dutch model, is the competition class action in the UK, the class representative doesn't have to be a foundation or anything sort of set up in that way, though we are seeing companies set up. The class representative can be an individual, and there are a number of individuals, and they're generally approached by a law firm who's driving these actions, and they have to satisfy various tests to show they are suitable and capable of managing these actions. So we're seeing kind of really upstanding consumer type champions being used to bring these cases, because there is often a consumer angle in these collective actions. And I'd be interested to see, is that something you're seeing? Are these collective claims generally at the consumer level or not? Are there kind of business claims?
I think it can be both. We've seen some actions in relation to, for instance, privacy, which are also pushed by such a foundation or an association, but is intended to represent a number of consumers or, for instance, even all consumers. But such a foundation still has to be able to demonstrate that it actually represents all those consumers as a specific group of people. And I think that is one of the examples of a rise in cases we've seen. I mean, it's the new regime is in force since the 1st of January 2020, and there's a registry in which these cases have to be documented, and there's already, I think, over 50 cases that have been included in this registry.
Oh, wow. I know the new mechanism will have encouraged those, but are you seeing, has there been an increase in litigation funding in the market in the Netherlands? Because that's something we've definitely seen in the UK. There's a lot of money available for these collective claims, and even claims which seem quite risky are being able to be funded.
I think we haven't seen it as much as you indeed see it in the UK, for instance, but there's definitely been a growth of these type of companies, but also I think specific law firms that focus on these type of claims are really setting sail to the Netherlands in that perspective.
And we haven't talked much about what's going on in Germany. I can see Germany, I'm not aware of much going on in the class action space, but there are kind of very interesting ways that these claims have been brought. So Max, do tell us what's happening where you are.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And I think that's a fair summary. The reason why you're not seeing much is probably because the German legislator has for years been extremely reticent to implement any sort of collective damage claims. It also, Germany abstained when it came to vote on the Collective Action Directive, which you had mentioned earlier. So that's not to say that there is no option for collective redress in Germany. There's actually a multitude of tools for that. So you could think of the whole system a bit like a Swiss Army knife. There's a few tools that get used all the time in practice, like, I don't know, the corkscrew or the bottle opener. And there are a few widgets which were added at some point, but then everybody forgot about them. What we have as a fairly new tool is so-called model claim for declaratory relief, which is an opt-in model. Quite similar from what I hear from Chef right now to the Dutch model that was implemented. Because under the German system as well, you need a qualified entity to file those claims. Let's say downside from a claimant's point of view of this type of proceeding is that it does not grant any title for compensation. It is only for declaratory relief. So the individual compensation would then have to be claimed actively by the respective claimant, which is why there have been a few cases, but not an overwhelming number of this new type of proceeding so far. It was introduced in 2018. But of course, there's a demand for collective damage claims as well. And what we see in practice are two, well, let's call them workarounds. One is the bundling of claims by transferring them to a dedicated claims vehicle, which is a sound method to do that, but brings a number of legal complications, the details of which are currently hotly debated in German case law. And the other workaround that we see in practice is what you might call a brute force solution, which is to file a large number of individual, almost identical claims with AI-generated submissions. And we see that, for example, in the so-called emissions scandal, which is currently overloading the German courts, the diesel emissions, where literally thousands of claims are filed, often at selected courts who have a hugely increased caseload for this reason, and are defended by very much the same way.
Well, that's so interesting, the use of AI to bring these mass claims. I think also, when you think about this in the broader policy context, so you mentioned the resistance in Germany kind of against class actions. And I think that's something we've seen across a lot of European countries. There's this fear that class or collective actions means US-style litigation culture, which is seen as a really negative thing. But then you see the courts in Germany being overloaded with sort of thousands of claims, and you think, well, actually, is there a better way of doing this, and is perhaps a kind of proper collective model a more efficient and more just way of proceeding, or from whatever side of the argument you're on, sort of on the defense side as well as the claimant side. One question I had for you, Max, was about the Representative Action Directive. Do you see that as changing things in Germany?
Well, you would think so, because, I mean, technically under EU law, you are obliged as a member state to implement this directive. As of today, I'm not aware of any specific plans by the legislator to actually implement it. So it will be very interesting how they are proposing to do that before the deadline expires. It should also be noted that the directive has a limited scope. So you cannot take representative actions just for any old breach under the directive. But at the very end, there's the list of legal acts which have to be infringed for the directive to apply. And quite interesting, what we see in the emission scandal is that the claimants usually rely on another specific EU regulation, 715/2007, on the type of approval of motor vehicles, which is interestingly not mentioned in that annex to the Representative Actions Directive. So on that particular front, the implementation of the Collective Actions Directive would not actually solve anything, probably.
Oh, interesting. So it all sounds kind of all changed and very exciting on paper, but actually how far it will go to deal with the issues faced by the courts in Germany at the moment is questionable.
Well, interestingly enough, Representative Action Directive is obviously very much focused on the consumer indeed, and that probably requires a complete shift in the way such a case is brought in Germany if you want to present it in a different way than it has been done so far, if I understand Max correctly.
And on the consumer angle, I mentioned there's a trend that we're seeing in the UK for these actions to be used to recover for consumers. But it's not just consumers. So competition class actions are also being used by businesses to claims as well. So, for example, at the moment, we're acting on the foreign exchange collective actions in the Competition Appeal Tribunal, and they are business claims rather than consumer claims. Thanks very much, both of you. I think what this shows is there's much more to come in this area as we try to find a European approach to collective redress, with the defendants balancing their very understandable concern about greater liability that collective actions might bring, but against the competing desire to achieve kind of global peace of settlement, draw a line under past conduct without the concern or provisioning for litigation hanging over you. Now, if any of our listeners would like to find out more, please do contact me or Chef or Max or your usual Baker McKenzie contact. And we've got loads of resources on this. So do find our class actions portal on our webpage and our blog. There's a huge amount of information on there. Thanks very much.